Keep forgetting to remind everybody that you can go to our website at findtheopendoor.org, and you can listen to our web radio station. You hear sermons, you can hear Christian music all day, and it's all for free. You don't have to sign up for anything, just click on it and it comes up. And so it's findtheopendoor.org, and then just click on listen to the radio station there, and it's good for you to have playing throughout the day if you're at work or at home. Hebrews chapter 10, today I want to talk about serving God continually. In the book of Hebrews, and we're not going to go through the whole book and all the verses, but Hebrews has a lot of things about being finished and things completed and things that are done and things that don't need to be done again and continuing to do things. For example, in these are my texts, but verse 9, it says of Hebrews 10, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and taketh away the first, that he may establish the second," the second covenant of the New Testament, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So we don't need to have a sacrifice for sins anymore. Jesus paid it all. It's finished. That's what he said on the cross, and if he said it's finished, you can count on it. It's finished. And so it's done once for all. We don't need to continually doing sacrifices day by day in verse 11. Verse 12, this man, after he had once offered once sacrifice sins forever. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So you can see throughout this thing, he says, hey, I did this thing once. It's done continually. You don't have to have this continue to be done and have it over with in there. And then verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That verse there is talking about we now have the ability to enter into the most holy place. The most holy place in the Old Testament was in the temple, where only the high priest one time a year was allowed to go into this room where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that's where the presence of God was, in this one room. And only one time a year did one person, the high priest, who had to go through a lot of rituals before he went in there, he got to go once in the presence of God to bring a sacrifice in there into the Holy of Holies. It says now, the amazing thing is, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we now all have access into that Holy of Holies. You yourself can enter into that place now, though it's not a place on earth, it's in heaven. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Prayer brings you into the presence of God, and you can now enter into that place in God's presence because of Jesus' sacrifice. Having said that, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And by the way, there was a curtain in between the temple itself. There was a temple, and then inside the temple there was a curtain, a veil it was called. And that veil separated the holiest of all from the rest of it. You couldn't go through that veil except for the high priest. That veil was Jesus' flesh. And when Jesus died, remember the veil of the temple was ripped in half, symbolizing the access to God for sinful mankind is now gone, and now all of us can go into God's presence because the veil is gone that separates us from God. concerted for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And when you come near to God, and please let me, some people, we all have different struggles, and many of you people that are sweet-spirited and gentle-spirited and very nice and have very sensitive consciences, sometimes because of your timidity, you don't have a good prayer life. And I don't want you to do that. Some people are bulls in life. I mean, I'm going to go get this thing. And some people aren't like that. And some of you, because of your sin or because of your past or because of things you've done, you don't feel worthy to come into the presence of God, and you don't pray boldly. Can I tell you, that's a big mistake. God tells you not to do that many times. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help to find help in time of need, grace to help in time of need. God says, I paid for your sins, and it's finished. I didn't miss any of them. Can I tell you, you're never going to be worthy to enter into that place. I'm not worthy to enter into that place, nor is any human. There is none righteous, no, not one. You're never going to go to that point where you say, okay, now I feel I can go to God, and I can say, okay, God, now I can be here, and now I deserve you to listen to my prayers. You'll never be there. If you sin one time, one sin's too many to become in God's presence. It's only by the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice, him dying for your sins, that separates those sins from you. And God stands here and says, okay, I have taken away your sins. Now draw near with full assurance. In other words, walk in there and say, okay, God, here I am. That's what he says to do. Yet many Christians do not draw near. They stand back here and say, you know, God, I want to pray, and I should pray to ask you these things, but, you know, I probably won't happen. I don't feel good about myself. That's not how he tells you to pray. You weren't worthy in the first place. Jesus paid it all, and now he tells you to come in. So you're somebody, and I'm standing there saying to my kids, you know what? They did something bad. And I said, oh, it's okay, I forgive you. Come snuggle with me. And they stand here and say, I'm sorry. You know, I really don't deserve to snuggle with you. That's bad. I forgave you. I want to snuggle with you. Come snuggle with me. Oh, you know, I've been too bad a kid. And you know what? I'm not going to come near because I don't deserve, because I disobeyed you today. Am I happy? No. They're disobeying me. I've forgiven you. Come here. I want to be with you. And here's God inviting mankind. For whatever reason, God likes mankind being with him. And God says, I want you to draw near to me. James 4, I think verse 7, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. He says, I want you to come to me. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, I want you to come to my presence, and I want you to be near to me, and I want you to come with assurance. I want you to believe I forgave you. Quit saying I can't forgive you. You're insulting my son's blood. It's powerful enough to forgive you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God did not forgive you in the way that you forgive people. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far, O Lord, hast thou removed our transgressions from us. God has not erased your chalkboard, and you can still read what's on there. And he says, okay, I erased it, but I kind of still see what's on. That is not the way God forgives. He says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, though they be as white as wool. God says, I can totally wash away your sins. They're buried in the deepest sea. They're separated from the east and the west. Now I've forgiven you. Now come be with me. I want to spend time with you in prayer. Quit being timid in your prayer life. Come in here. Come sit on my lap. Let's talk. And we'll get something done here. God wants you to pray boldly. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith. In other words, you believe God when he said, it is finished and I forgave you. Have assurance in that. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us also consider one another and provoke one another unto good works, not forsaking this. By the way, it commands us to provoke one another to good works. So I'm supposed to come and provoke you. Messiah, quit messing around. Sit up straight, listen to preaching. Good job. Demetrius, pay attention. Sit up. I'm a good-looking guy. Look at me. And Jordan, man, I need you to come to church every single Sunday. Tanya, quit beating up your husband. John, quit getting drunk for church. I know it relaxes you. And I'm supposed to... And I'm supposed to provoke them to good works. Now, I don't have to do it that way necessarily. Let me start on this. Never mind. But I'm supposed to provoke them to do good things. You know, everybody's so hypersensitive nowadays that you can't provoke anybody. So, you know, listen, sometimes I need told knock it off. Sometimes somebody needs to provoke me. Say, hey, you know what? You need to do this. And provoking, you know, you ever provoke people? Men are provokers. The Bible commands us, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know we like to bother people. Men are just like that. They're kind of obnoxious. Amen, ladies? And anytime you provoke people, you just know, you just say this little thing, it'll bother them. Just walking by, you just stick your foot out and chip them a little bit. You know, you provoke people, just get them a little angry, just bother them. We're supposed to provoke one another, and that can happen through encouragement, through writing them a letter, through saying the words, through encouraging them, and sometimes through rebuke and saying, knock that off, you don't need to be doing that, you're better than that, stop that, give me that, I'm stomping on that. And we provoke one another. People are so hypersensitive nowadays, you can't hardly tell anybody to do anything. Don't judge me. By the way, you don't even know what the Bible means when it says, thou shalt not judge. You're judging me. You're saying I shouldn't do that. Don't judge me. You judge murderers, right? That's not what judging means. We're not being the judge. God's already judged those actions. I'm not going to judge that murderer. He's murdering people, but I'm not judging his actions. He's continuing to murder people, but I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. I'm not going to judge him. It's dumb. It's not biblical. We judge murderers. We judge rapists. We judge child molesters. Because God already judged them, and he says what to do. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about not giving mercy, and that's another subject. Provoke one another to good works. We're supposed to go, and I'm supposed to provoke Matthew to be good, and I'm supposed to provoke Brian to knock it off and quit sleeping in church, and I'm supposed to provoke all these even people, and Travis, quit paying attention to your wife. I'm here, so I'm supposed to provoke people to good works. Why? Hey, call somebody. Say, well, man, I miss you at church. I need you. That's provoking them. I know people are sensitive nowadays, and they're all thin-skinned. You know what? If they don't love Jesus enough that somebody try to encourage them, and they're going to get offended, you know what? They're going to get offended at something else. Right. We live in a thin-skinned generation. If I'm going to offend you with my preaching this morning, and you don't love Jesus enough to come back next Sunday, then you know what? Nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to tiptoe through tulips for you. You got to love Jesus enough to say, you know what? You can't offend me. You try to get me to do more for God, I like you. And you're supposed to provoke one another to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In all these verses we're seeing, things we're supposed to keep on doing and keep on doing and do more and more of these things. I want to talk about serving God continually today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray we'd encourage one another, and I pray we'd be a blessing to one another, and I pray we would love you, Father, enough to Lord, grow and continue to do the things even when they're hard. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts, and I pray we'd understand the truth of your word in this chapter and throughout the book of Hebrews and other spots in the Bible. And I pray we'd be people who continue to serve you continually, Lord. Please give me your spirit and speak through me. And we just need you, Father, and we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a lot of life is knowing what to stop and what to continue doing. You can get you can get in an accident by stopping an intersection or by going through an intersection, depending on the light. Sometimes you're supposed to continue through the intersection. Many people have I've seen car crashes happen because somebody thought the light was turning red for whatever reason it wasn't. They stopped. And other people have thought the light was green or weren't paying attention, and they drove right through the light and got in a wreck. And sometimes you're supposed to continue through the intersection, and sometimes you're supposed to stop. And in life, you're supposed to know when to stop and when to continue things and what's worth continuing. It's good for a child to gain weight. We look at a child and we say, hey, he's gained 2 pounds. The doctor says, that's great. But you know what? Some of us continue to gain weight. And we continue and continue in our 30s and 40s and 50s. And then all of a sudden the doctor says, you know what, you need to quit gaining weight because you're continuing to do something. Was it good when you were a baby? Yes, he gained 2 pounds. He's so healthy, and that's good. But once we're 40 and we're gaining weight, well, it's not so good. I'm not supposed to continue to do that, and I excel at that sometimes and become a very well-rounded Christian in many ways. So we do that. There are some things in life it's bad to continue. For example, when a boy is 35 years old and he's continuing to live off mom and dad, that's a bad thing. And a good, loving mom and dad, for the good of their child, will say, you know what, you're not going to live off me anymore. Because it is not good for a child to continue to live off their parents once they're old enough to take care of themselves. They're being enabled to do a bad thing, and they shouldn't continue to do that. That's a bad thing. See, continuing sometimes is good. But a kid should continue to live under his house when he's 14. If he runs away from home, he's going to find out he should have continued at home. And knowing in life what to continue and what not to continue is very important, because there's some things in life. You ever been in a situation, maybe a relationship, where you say, I need to not continue this anymore? It's really a detrimental thing. Sometimes you get a car. You ever had a car that you continued and you wish you wouldn't have, and it just keeps on breaking down and you keep putting money into it? And you got to make that decision. Do I continue putting money in this car? Do I buy another one? And you, after a while, you say, I cannot continue to fix this thing. I've got to get out of this thing. I cannot continue to eat like this because I now have health issues. You learn what's good to continue and what not to continue. There's many, many examples of that. Some people continue to spend when they should not be spending money anymore. I never get amens for that one. Amen? Liar. And some people continue to spend when they should not spend money anymore. Some people continue in bad relationships. Oh, man, I don't have time to tell the stories of people. I'm going, why are you continuing with that person? What do they have to do to make you kick them out? They continue in bad relationships, and they shouldn't. There's many things we should that are bad to continue. And the Bible talks about these things. For example, Romans 6:1 says, what then shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? When you get saved and you start serving God, you shouldn't continue in the old life. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. That we should not continue in sin that grace may abound. We should leave that old sin behind and go serve God and come near to God and leave the sin behind and not continue in it. We should not continue to do things that are in the past. Some things should be let go, and we shouldn't do that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, says we should not continue in anger. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to evil and Satan. See, some people get angry, and the Bible says it's not a sin to be angry in the Bible. Jesus was angry several times. Okay? Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. But some people get angry. Okay, all of a sudden, somebody does something bad, and I get angry. There were the money changers. Jesus was angry at them. Nothing wrong with being angry. Somebody goes and does something terrible, and you know, it's like, you know, hey, those guys, they just blew up the Twin Towers. I'm not angry. No, it's natural to be angry when something bad happens. But the problem comes when you in life continue in anger. Somebody made you mad and they really did do something wrong to you. And then you get mad and you talk to them and they ask you to forgive or whatever and you get it right, but you continue in anger. That anger eventually becomes bitterness. Boy, I tell you, we have a lot of people who can't let things go and they continue in anger for a long, long time. Some for years, some for decades. Some people are still mad at what their parents did when they were 5 and they are ruining their whole life now when they're 40 because of what their parents did 40 years ago. Stop. Don't continue in anger. Just let it go. There's some things not to continue in. Sometimes you can't continue eating. Go to Old Country Buffet and you eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. By the way, men's prayer breakfast, Old Country Buffet this Saturday. And it's bad. And you continue eating. You ever eat too much? I mean, the first time in my entire life, my wife has smarted me. I'm like a, you know, I used to eat slow, and then I went to Bible college and got busy, and now I just inhale my food. And then all of a sudden I'll stop and go, oh, my soul, I ate too much. My wife never overeats. And one time we went to this restaurant called a Sweet Tomato. It was so good. Anybody ever had Sweet Tomato? A few folks have. That's good food right there. And she ate a good meal, and then all of a sudden she found out they had macaroni and cheese. Man, I mean, do not go between my wife and macaroni and cheese. That's a dangerous place to be. She loves macaroni and cheese, and it was the best she ever had. And for once in my wife's life, she's never done it. She ate too much. And I remember her going, I'm dying. Honey, why do people do this? This is miserable. And I remember me being the nice husband I was whenever I said, honey, big hug. This is serious. No, I'm not kidding. And but you know what? I do that oftentimes. And we just continue and continue and continue. We continue to watch bad things or say bad things or think bad things. We shouldn't continue in certain things, but there's some things we should continue in. And most of the messages, I just want to talk about things to continue in. And we'll get in some Bible ones. Just going to be a few things, just thoughts. For example, good to continue in marriage. Stay married. Just continue. Everything's not exactly, just continue. Keep on going. Hard times, good times, bad times, high, low, doesn't matter. Just continue. We should just in life continue to stay active. When somebody gets inactive, their body starts going apart. And by the way, your mind starts deteriorating also. When you need to stay active your whole life. The things we should continue. Just for example, just silly things, but things we're supposed to continue, we should continue to breathe. That's a good thing, isn't it? You want your heart to continue to beat. Those are things that never stop, that you keep on going, hopefully, and you just don't say, you know what, I'm going to breathe for a while today. No, it's something you should continue to do. Your heart should continue to beat. In life, there's things you continue that you never stop doing. You should continue to remember. It's bad when your mind no longer remembers anymore, and you cannot remember things. Now you've got a disease or Alzheimer's or something, and it's bad because you don't remember anymore. These are all good things which you can continue in. And knowing the difference between what we should continue and not continue is a lot of life. The Bible specifically mentions things we are to continue in and continue to do. And I want to get you to get some things in your life that starting today, if this point right here is today, that if you're not doing it, you're going to begin doing it. If you do it occasionally, if you do it most of the time, I want you to start doing it right now and continue to do it for the rest of your life, because these are all things to continue and not to stop doing. Continue for the rest of your life to do these things. Let me just give you a few things out of the Bible right here in this chapter and some other places. Number one, continue to confess and profess Jesus Christ. Continue to confess and profess Jesus Christ. Chapter 10 here in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that hath promised. God says, I want you to, for the rest of your life, always to claim me. I'm a Christian. I claim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What if it's not popular and they're going to laugh at me? Doesn't matter. Hold fast your profession. What if our government turns against it and says, you can't do that anymore? Doesn't matter. You continue it forever. What if my family doesn't do it anymore, Pastor Byron? You continue your profession of Jesus Christ. What if Open Door Baptist Church fades and falls away? Then you continue to profess Jesus Christ. You continue for the rest of your life. You say, I'm a born-again Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. The Bible's the Word of God, and I love the Lord, and nothing's going to stop me from that. It's not as popular as it used to say that anymore. You know, in times of our culture, most people went to church, and most people would say that's a good thing. It's getting nowadays that they almost make fun of you if they find out you're a Christian. Your neighbors aren't always going to rejoice finding out they have a Christian next door to them. Not everybody's going to like that you say I'm a born-again Christian, and not all places want to hire Christians anymore. But we need to hold fast our profession. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's risen again. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the glory of God the Father. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be ashamed and embarrassed and be quieted down. We believe in him. We're going to follow him. We need to continue our profession for the rest of our life. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. Some Christians are going to be ashamed of Jesus in this life. And by the way, I'm not talking about the loudmouth hypocrites who don't live for God all week long and then go tell everybody they're Christian. I'm talking Christians who live it and then proclaim it and boldly are proud to say, I belong to Jesus Christ. Those people who do that, some people who are ashamed of Jesus and aren't afraid, and they don't go to school and they don't go to work and they don't take Jesus with them. And somebody asks them, are you a Christian? And they're ashamed. Bible says they're going to get to heaven and Jesus is going to say, I'm ashamed of you. He says, you confess me before men, God will take some of us and say, this is Josiah Byram, father, and he is proud to be a Christian. This is Tanya Duncan, and she was proud to be called a Christian. This is, and he'll go through, and some though, father will say, who's that? And Jesus says, I don't know. It's exactly what it says will happen. He will be ashamed of you before his Father in heaven. You know what? I don't mind going and sitting there in public schools or going there and going to your job. And before you eat that food that God gave you, you bow your head and you pray. You don't have to go, Lord! You don't have to do that. Just bowing your head and praying before your food will get everybody's attention. They'll notice it. And by the way, don't do the old, Lord, thank you for the food. Don't do that. Don't be ashamed. You go and you let everybody know, God gave me this food. I'm proud to pray over my food. I'm proud to take my Bible with me to work. I'm not going to hide this thing. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. You don't have to be obnoxious at all to do this. You confess Christ the rest of your life. You continually, wherever you go, take Jesus with you and let everybody know. Let the name of Jesus go with you. Put that stuff around your door. As they did in the Old Testament, it says they put the Bible verses around the doorposts. You go and have stuff around your door. Let them come to your door and let them know where they're coming. They're coming to a Christian home. Let it be known that you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Confess Christ. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. By the way, he was writing to these people who might be killed for being a Christian. And he said, hold fast to it. It come to the point now where it's not worrying about people getting persecuted for serving God. We're just worried about them coming to church every Sunday. We've gone so far down as Christians in America. Lukewarmness. Be proud you serve Christ. Continue even if you're not popular. Continue it if nobody else likes it. Continue it. Bible says in 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glory in this behalf. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Continue to confess and profess Jesus Christ. Share the word. Take a tract with you. Invite somebody to church. Take one of the New Testaments, wherever they are. I don't even know what they are. Take one of those New Testaments and give them to somebody. Let them know you're a Christian. Number two, continue to go to church. Continue to go to church, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Even then they had Christians who didn't go to church. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. According to that verse there, it says you're not supposed to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's going to church. But it says you're supposed to do it so much more as he gets closer to Jesus coming back. Listen, we were talking yesterday, me and the guys at prayer breakfast, and we were talking about how that everything is going so quickly towards the end times, and we're just talking about technology, and how the whole world's going to be so easy with all the identity theft, when you could just take all of your identity, put it on your right hand or your forehead, how the world is so quickly going to embrace that. Listen, we're not talking about Jesus coming back 100 years ago when we're still mostly riding horses and wagons. We have all the technology the Bible talks about now. And you know what? The more we get closer to Jesus coming and the world gets bad, the more you need church. You weren't this week walking behind a horse and just thinking out loud and listening to the crickets all week long. You were drugged down by the world all week long. By the way, so was I. There is junk everywhere I look. There is stuff everywhere I went. When I went in one appointment, the music was too loud and it wasn't good music. And all week long, we are closer to Jesus coming back and the world's gone downhill. And we need Jesus and we need church more than we ever needed it before. The world's pulling you one way. You need church more than ever before. You ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, any chance you can go, because we need it so much the more, the Bible says, as you see the day approaching. You need to be faithful to church. You will never make it as a good Christian. I know this. I've worked with people closely and disciple people every week of my life for 24 years now. It's just a guaranteed fact. You do not go faithfully to church every single Sunday, you'll never be a good Christian in this society. Never. You'll be okay. You'll be not too bad. You won't be as bad as your neighbor maybe, but you will not be a great Christian. You will backslide and find yourself going back to your old sins and hating yourself and saying, why do I keep doing this? Why? Because you just you're forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Can I just tell you for a sec? Let me explain this to you, because a lot of you don't come from church background just like I don't. Most people in this area don't come from church backgrounds. How do you go every Sunday, Pastor? I want to go to church. I don't make it every Sunday. There's one way I've found to make it to church every Sunday. It's real simple. Here's what you do. You do not decide if you're going to church. You, one time in your life, I did this when I was 17. That has been, I guess, probably 16. Somewhere 16 and 17, I decided I'm going to go to church. I am now 40 years old. I have not missed, I know I haven't missed 8 services since then. And when I say services, I mean Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek. I mean, any regular church service. When I was a teenager, I went to Sunday morning, Sunday night. Tuesday night was our midweek service. Thursday night, visiting. Friday night, teen soul winning. Saturday morning, bus visitation. I went to service 6 days a week. Never missed any of them. Missed one when I was delirious one time. They pulled off 4 wisdom teeth, and they gave me oxycodone. And oxycodone to me makes me really happy, but not very effective at things. And I missed it then. I had a fever of 104 one time. I was delirious in my church. But I've got a whole bunch of times with a 99-degree fever and bronchitis and coughs. But you know what happened? I decided a long time ago I'm going to go to church. I go to church. You say, Pastor Brian, I'm going to take you skiing next Sunday. There's not an option there. I'm going to church. Pastor Brian, Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. Miracle. And Pastor Brian, I got you tickets to go to the Super Bowl. It's on Sunday night. I would say, sorry, I go to church on Sunday night. I wouldn't decide then. I decided when I was 17. I don't decide on... Listen, you know what happened if I getting up in the morning is a resurrection for me. It's not getting up. I hate getting up. First half hour of the morning is just a nightmare. It's terrible. If my alarm went off in the morning, I say, should I go to church today? That's not when I decide if I'm going to church. Do you decide if you're going to work when your alarm goes off? You already decided. You have to go to work at that time. That's what you do to church. If you just say, I will be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, I go to church. And not decide on Sunday, you're already going. What if the car breaks down? Well, then who am I going to have to call because I'm going to church? You say, Pastor, you mean if I called you on Sunday morning and my car's broke down, you'd have somebody get me? Absolutely. We'd have somebody get you. Because you're going to be at church. You've got to decide you go to church. Because you need it more than anybody in history has ever needed it. You don't decide, should I go to church? You don't do it that way. You decide, I go to church. Just like you decide, I go to work. You say, it's that important, I'm going to do it. It's an appointment, and I'm going to be there. One time you decide if you're going to go to church, make an appointment and be there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 talks about them going to church. And let me just read this to you. Watch how they went to church in the New Testament. By the way, New Testament, most of them went to church every day of the week. And they continued steadfastly. Notice that. They continue. There's that continue thing. Steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. And they believed were together and had all things common. You continue to go to church. Next, continue to love. Hebrews 13. Verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. As I've been training, I've been working a lot harder at trying to train the guys for ministry and giving them ministry work to do instead of doing it all myself. And we got several guys. One of the things that now I have to start training is how to keep loving. People disappoint you, people hurt you, and people bail out on you, and people break their word on you, and people don't come through for you, and people you count on to do things, and people lose their temper at you, and all you're trying to do is do them good. You ever try to do people good and they lash out at you? Let brotherly love continue. See, when I decided that when Josiah was born 15 years ago, I decided to love him. Has he always been lovable? But you know what? By the way, he's a good kid, and he tries to do good and likes to come to church and does all those things. But you know what? If he's a bad kid and he doesn't serve God and he drops out of church and becomes rebellious, I'll still love him. I'll beat him, but I'll love him. I decided that I love Ron and Pam when I met them. Have they always been perfect? No. I'm pretty good, though. So they've been coming. They've been faithful a little over a year, and they've been coming all the time. But you know what? When they first came, they didn't come every Sunday. They missed a few Sundays in there. I decided that I love them, and I'm not going to stop loving. But they don't deserve it. Okay, you ready for the secret? Has God continued to love you? Did you deserve that love to continue? I've said many times, if I were God, the lightning bolts had already flown at me. And many people in this room have disappointed me many times, but I'm going to continue to love them. And what if they don't come back to church? I'll still love them. I'll be disappointed. I'll be heartbroken. And I'll hate to see the life fall apart, but I'll love them. You don't love part-time. You don't love only when people are lovable. Listen, a baby is not always lovable. They have dirty diapers. They cry at the wrong times of the night. they're not always easy. And they become teenagers. And you know what? People aren't always lovable. You know what? I'm not always lovable as a spouse, but love is supposed to continue. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth. It's easy to stop loving. It takes greatness to continue to love. And many people, and I've seen this even in pastors and in people in the ministry, they have loved for a long time, but at a certain point they said, I'm not going to love anymore because every time I love, I have to give my heart away. And every time I give my heart away, it gets squished. But you have to keep doing it. Many people have gotten some bad relationships. You got in a bad relationship and you got hurt by somebody 20 years ago and you still will not give your heart away to your spouse now because you haven't learned to continue in love. You know what? Just because a football player gets hit one time and it hurts a little bit doesn't mean he say, I'm not going to that field again. They're going to tackle me. No. You continue even though it hurts. Loving hurts. And by the way, getting very cold and very hard and very bitter, you'll never be hurt in love again. But you're a destroyed person. You're ruined because you can't love anymore. You've got to be strong enough to love and be willing to be hurt and still love and let love continue. Continue to love. Don't give up on love. Love people. Love the world. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love people at church. Let love continue. Next, things we're supposed to continue. Continue to praise God. Hebrews 13. Continue to praise God. We say continue to confess Jesus Christ. Continue to go to church. Continue to love and continue to praise God. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually praise God. There's so many verses in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians, let me read 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. I'm going to be there for a little bit. If you want to turn there, we're going to stay there. It says, rejoice evermore, verse 16. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Praise continually in our lips. Psalm says that let the high praise of God be in our mouth. And continually praising God. Continually praising God. Well, when we sing a great song at church, we praise God. When we get our paycheck, we praise God. When our health is good, we praise God. When our baby's born, we praise God. When all of a sudden we get a new car, we praise God. Hopefully you do all those things. That's great. But the Bible says, let us continually offer sacrifice of praises. When your health's bad, praise God. In everything, give thanks. When church is not having a great day, praise God. When your body aches in the morning, praise God. When your finances are tight, which is most of your life, praise God. That's because you continue spending. When you go out to your car and you're ready to go and you're in a hurry and it goes, praise God. Continually praise God. Praise God when your health's good. Praise God when your health's bad. Praise God when your kids are doing good. Praise God when they're doing bad. Praise God when you're sleepy. Praise God when you're awake. Praise God when your health's great when it's bad. Praise God when your friends love you. And praise God when they hate you because you're going to go through both in life. Praise God when your job is going great. How many of you have had a great job? Everything went great. How many had a terrible job? Everything went terrible. You know, that's part of life. How many have had great financial times in your life where everything was rolling? And how many had terrible financial times in your life where everything is terrible? You know what? Praise God continually. Praise God when it's sunny. Praise God when it's rainy. You better learn to do that in Seattle. Because it's beautiful and 70 and sunny today, but you know what? Give it a day. Praise God. Look at that. Oh, praise God, it's beautiful outside. Then it rains. Praise God, things are going to stay evergreen in the evergreen state. Praise God, we're going to have water in our rivers. We're going to have water to drink. Praise God. Praise God, I can see those clouds and my eyes work. Praise God. Just find ways that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. You got all that belongs saying, praise the Lord. You got to get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. I can get up out of bed today. I know it takes a process, and you have to get a jack and jack your back up and work your way out of bed and all that stuff. And I know all that. I know it hurts sometimes. Sometimes it's hard, but praise God. Praise God continually. Never stop praising God. As long as you're alive, you're saved. Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have the Bible. You have a church. You're born again. God's your Savior. He loves you. All things work together for good. You can see and hear and talk. And you have so many good things going for you. Praise God for the good things. Don't live your whole time griping your life away. There's always something to gripe about. Pastor, you know how hard these chairs are. I know. You want me to come down to the altar and kneel down the carpet? There's even carpet there. There's always something to gripe about. You know, every car has something wrong with it, just about. My cars have, you call it a clunker. I say my car has personality. Yeah, it's personality. Not just anybody can drive my car. You ever have to give instructions before you have somebody drive your car? You have one of those cars? If you got to do this, then do this. And if this happens, then you got to do this. And make sure when you start it, you do this. But it gets you point A to point B. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God's just good to us. We are in the richest nation in the history of the world. We've got where we can see and hear and talk and walk. Jesus is our Savior. We're going to heaven when we die. I understand the economy's tough and you might have gotten laid off. But you know what? Praise God. None of you look like you're starving. Praise God, you're in a nation where you can go to a food bank. We got food right back there underneath that table if you need food. We won't let you starve. Listen, praise God that you had a job. Praise God you're alive another day to go seek employment. Praise God you can work because you have a mind that works and you're not handicapped. Praise God. Find reasons to praise God. Next, things we're supposed to continue. Continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. I'll just do Joshua 1 because of time. Joshua chapter 1. Continue in the Word. James chapter 1 verse 25 says, He that heareth the Word and continueth therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, this man shall be blessed in all his deed. Joshua chapter 1. It says in verse 8, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. This book right here, it should never depart from you. It says that never let this book depart out of your mouth, continuing it day and night. Psalms 1 says, continuing the Bible day and night. Listen, the Bible is not something you get on Sunday. It's something you get on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and morning, noon, and night. This book should be close to you all the time. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You need to have that Bible with you all the time. You need to memorize it and think about it and meditate on it and read it. Listen, we want you to read it every single day. We work so hard at that because it's your food. You eat the Bible spiritually. It's your food. And people are weak because they don't read the Bible every day. You have to read the Bible continually. And by the way, well, I've already read it through once. Folks, it's the mind of God. I've read the Bible through so many times. I have books of the Bible memorized, and yet I study it, and I'm still saying, oh, my soul, I just learned something new about it. There's so much in the Bible, you will never learn all of it. You'll never grasp all its concept because it's the mind of God and you need it constantly. It's like food for your soul. You can't eat all of the food for your entire life in 1 year. You need to eat every day. Some of you might try, but it's not going to work. And you need it every single day of your life. You need the Bible. Every day, read the Bible. Every day, read the Bible. Every day, read the Bible. Every day, think about the Bible. All day long, take it with you to work. Put it in your back pocket. Put it in your purse. And meditate on it and read it. Memorize that memory verse and keep it in your mind. This book should be continually in your mind and heart. Meditate therein day and night. One more thing back in 1 Thessalonians 5, things we should continue, and that's continue to pray. Continue to pray. Things we're continuing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. There's many verses where it emphasizes this in the Bible. And I'll just turn to a couple to you. They continued steadfastly in prayer. We find in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And just want to read just the theme of the Bible in prayer. It says, pray without ceasing. It says also in the book of Colossians in chapter 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch unto the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. There's so many verses. Romans 12:12 says, continue an instant in prayer. Don't quit praying. Listen, I know you prayed a lot when you were a kid, maybe. I know you prayed a lot when you were in trouble financially. I know you prayed a lot when you worry about somebody dying, but you know what? Prayer is a continual thing. It is every single day praying and continuing to pray. We give you a prayer list of how to fill out a prayer list. Every single day of your life, you ought to spend a significant amount of time alone with God. I know, I'm glad if you pray before you have your food, and that's good. And do that. And if you want to pray some cute prayer before you go to bed, now I lay me down to sleep, fine, pray that. But you know what? You ought to take, the Bible says in Matthew 6, enter into thy closet and shut the door. You ought to have private prayer time every day where you get alone with God. And you know what? You don't quit it. You pray without ceasing. What's that mean? How do you pray without ceasing, Pastor? If you never stop praying, how are you going to sleep? How are you going to go to church? How are you going to read the Bible when you're praying? The Bible explains that when it says continuing instant in prayer. In other words, you're always going back to praying. You know, you might go and you're coming the way to church. You're praying the way to church. Lord, bless the service and bless the pastor and speak to my heart and help us have a good day today. And you're praying and thanking God for this beautiful day. And Lord, help my car to make it there and all the things you pray for on the way. And you pray all that time. But then you get to church and all of a sudden you listen to the message and you stop praying. But then afterward you start again praying. Lord, anyway, Lord, what I was saying is I just want to pray that you'll bless my family and help them to be saved. And Lord, I prayed work in our nation and be with President Obama and be with Senators Murray and Cantwell and Governor Gregoire. And Lord, work in our leaders and give them wisdom. And you're continuing to pray. It means you continue to pray, and throughout the day you're praying all day long. You know, you don't have to get on your knees and bow your head and close your eyes to pray. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're riding the bus. You can pray while you're talking to somebody. You can say, Lord, give me wisdom what to say here. Pray without ceasing. It also means don't give up. There are prayer requests with me that are over 20 years old I'm still praying for that aren't answered yet. Over 20 years. Keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. You might have a prodigal son that you need to keep on praying for. Keep on praying. Sometimes God says you need to weep and pray for a long time before it happens, but do not cease to pray. Continue to pray. Make it a lifestyle. It's a thing you're just going to do. I'm going to start praying today, Pastor, and for the rest of my life, I'm going to spend time alone with God every day. I'm going to start reading a Bible every day, and I'm going to continue to do it for the rest of my life. These aren't temporary decisions. I'm going to go to church faithfully, and you can count on me being there. I'm going to continue to go to church. I'm going to continue to love. I'm going to continue to confess Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of Him. I'm going to continue to go to church. I'm going to continue to praise God when I feel like it and don't feel like it. I'm going to continue these things. By the way, I'm going to stop continuing the things that I do that are bad. If you'll continue the right things that the Bible talks about, continuing instant in prayer and praying without ceasing and in everything give thanks, if you'll continue to do the right things, you will find a life that is blessed by God. It's a great thing to continue in good things. It's a good spiritual life. Highs and lows, ups and downs. If you do this, and let me finish with this, many people have a spiritual life, and instead of continuing, they do like I do with exercise. I do nothing, I do nothing, I do nothing. Football game, injury. Or nothing, nothing, nothing. Workout, 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 workout. Oh, my soul, I can't move. I pulled something. Or, you know, it's like this. I'm not going to eat. I'm just not going to eat anymore. The person who tries to lose weight by not eating, then all of a sudden they lose it at the end and lose 15 pounds, and all of a sudden they just... Rah! That's not the way you live your spiritual life. It's... That's not the spiritual life. Spiritual life, if you want to stay in good shape, you continually exercise. And if you want to stay a good Christian, you continually... You just... I don't know if I want to go to church every Sunday. Well, then you won't. If you're not continuing that, you're not going to do good. I don't know if I want to read a Bible every day. Then you won't.
You won't do good if you don't continue in these things. Just faithfully, don't let the book depart out of your mouth, the Bible. Just be faithful. Just continually do what God wants you to do. You'll find a blessed life. You'll find God using you. You'll find your life will be changed. You'll find you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you'll find yourself climbing the mountain. But you say, I'm running up that mountain. Don't do that. Just steadfastly keep on the right path, doing the things you need to do continually, serving God continually. Let's pray. Father, I pray today we'd continue in these things, Father. I pray we'd continue to serve you, continue to love you, continue to pray and read our Bibles, continue to praise you, continue to love, continue in church, Lord. Help us to be faithful in these things. I pray today we'd be steady Christians. Father, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and Lord,